And hello, and good evening, and welcome everyone. It is Friday, September 30th in the year 2019. We're all still here. We have not been raptured up yet, but hey, we can still hope because we're supposed to be watching for the blessed hope. I'm glad that you're here. I know I said September, but it's August. Okay, my bad. So it's actually August 30th. The reason why I'm pushing September, because in October, we're going to the mountains to get a retreat, to ride, and so I can just sit and watch sunsets and just meditate on the word. So I'm ready to pack up my car and leave now, you know, but, you know, we got to wait till October, unfortunately. But anyway, thank you for being here. It is Friday night. Something me and a pastor friend was talking about the other day, about remaining faithful. And I am remaining faithful to you because y'all are at least showing up. And I told him, you know, the few people that's coming here, and he was like, wow, you know, really? I said, yeah. You know, they're still coming, so as long as they keep coming, I'm going to keep prepping messages and keep writing them, and whatever the Holy Spirit leads on my heart, he's going to do so. So, you know, and again, y'all don't have to, but y'all do, you know, and I'm glad that you do. So, fortunately, Beth won't be here tonight because I was telling Bill, Toby, she's having some issues because someone apparently hacked Jim's account, took his money out. They got to file a police report. She's catching all kind of heck right now. And, you know, it's like what we was talking about earlier. We don't understand why we're faced with so much troubles and pains and trials and hurts and ups and downs. And, you know, all of us here has experienced it. And all of us experienced things that some of us can't even fathom or imagine. You know, but the only thing that I keep falling back to, even though sometimes I get to the brink, you know, I say, look, I can't handle this no more. I don't want to go on no more. I can't deal with this no more. You know, why does this happen? You would think, you know, if I surrender myself to you, it shouldn't happen, but it does. And the only thing that I could keep coming back to and drawing a conclusion to, we don't know God 100%. If we did, I think all of us would understand. But this is why I think God does not let us fully understand, because again, what it does, it puts us in a position to trust him, to lean on him, because we know the scripture says, lean not on your own understandings, but up God himself. So I think what this does, just, you know, we're talking about the pruning process, and we're talking about chastisement, and both, yeah, it hurts. We both don't like it, but it's done for a reason, you know. So again, we have to depend and trust God. Okay, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why. But you know what? I'm going to trust you with this. And that really pushes us out on that limb. It really pushes us out there saying, okay, I just don't know why, but you know, okay, but man, this does not feel good. It hurts. So, but again, part of that is what I believe we're going to get into this message tonight about us growing up spiritually, us growing in Christ, us growing up. So, you know, I was thinking of this topic and I was thinking of this message, you know. I don't know why the Holy Spirit leads me to type messages like this, but he does. And a lot of it, I think, you know, from my own personal experience too. How many here tonight have heard this saying? Why don't you just grow up and quit acting like a baby? I have. How about you? See, that's quite a common phrase, if you want to call that. Why don't you just grow up and quit acting like a baby? Well, I think sometimes when people say that, they're not knowing what they're saying. But then sometimes I think they're saying it because, in a way, I think Lisa said it a little bit earlier, we act like a baby. We throw temper tantrums. We stomp our foot. We whine and cry. You know, I see videos on YouTube and I watch security videos, you know, for people at Walmart and stuff. And you see kids, I mean, just crying and crying and falling down on the floor and kicking and just waving arms and screaming. Like I even heard it myself, you know, me and my wife even laugh a few times. Uh-oh, somebody here is not having such a good day. Or somebody here is very cranky. Or somebody here just ain't getting their way. But you know, we heard that expression. But how about this? How many people that you encountered, many who are Christians, have thought in your mind, I just wish they would grow up and quit acting like a baby. We didn't speak it verbally. We said it in our mind. We're dealing with Christian people. Non-believers, we said the same thing. But I mean, a lot of times, and I'm being honest here, I have encountered other Christians, and I was thinking in my mind, I just wish you would grow up and quit acting like a baby or act your age. Much as I wanted to tell them that straight up, but I had to bite my tongue. Like I said, folks, I confess to you because I have done this many times to myself about others. I'm not asking you to confess, but you know, I'm just going by what I have thought about in the past when I encountered other Christians. Now, I want you to know something. While it's fine to be a baby for a little while, it's fine to be a baby for a while, but we expect babies to grow and mature. If anyone still acts like a baby when they are past that age, well, I got to tell you, something is wrong. Something's wrong if they're still acting like a baby when they're way past that age. It is the same in the spiritual as is the physical realm. We're supposed to grow up, all of us. We can't remain babies forever. But sadly, too many Christians seem content to remain babies. I encounter a lot of them. How about you? Sadly, many Christians seem content to remain as babies. And what happens? When you think about it, babies focus only on themselves and their needs. And at the same token, God desires for you and I to learn to love others and help them. God wants His children to mature and be trained, not be a bunch of crybabies forever. God does not want us to remain as newborn babes. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, our reading verse for tonight will be 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Our reading verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Now, I use different translations in case if you ever wonder why some does not match up, but hey, I'm not here because there's nothing wrong with different translations. People may claim there is, but as long as you're reading the Word of God, I'm okay with it. But this is from the NIV. And it says this, brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil. Be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. Thank you again, God, for basically allow me to live, to see things, to help me grow and mature. In the past, I kind of been wanting to do things my way, and in the past, I kind of threw temper tantrums myself when I was not getting my way. But as lately, you've been helping me grow and allowing me to see, and this is why now I've been talking to you and telling you, let your will be done and not mine. So forgive me of any sins I have inadvertently allowed, thought of, or done, or something that was not pleasing to you in your eyes. But Father, continue to help me grow stronger in the Spirit. I do want to grow. I want to do your will, not mine. I know I have desires, and I have wants, and I have needs. But the more I start to think about it, it has to be your will. I have to submit to your will. Sometimes your will, we don't like it. Sometimes we want to act like babies and cry and whine and carry on. But that's, to me, that's why I'm saying to you, help me with the wisdom to understand what your will is. Like the Lord's Prayer says, let thy will be done. Father, let your will be done here tonight. Bless those who are here. We have one, she could not make it. They're having financial issues. People broke into their account and stole their money. Father, all I can do is just give them the guidance and the wisdom. I know at times right now they may be thinking, you know, I don't know why, how come. But rest assured, give them peace and let them know, okay, fear not, trust me, and rely on me. So bless them and bless those who are here tonight. Father, thank you for your love, your support, and your kindness. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Now, y'all kind of get the hint of the title. Y'all seen it on my Facebook post. I titled this message tonight, God Wants Us to Grow Up. That simple, right? Yep. But see, when we are facing new things as a baby, it's likely to us very intimidating, isn't it? You know, you think about this, you know. I mean, for an example, learning to walk is no doubt scary for a little child. But they can do it. And after learning, they would certainly never wish to go back. So sometimes it's very intimidating to us and very scary that when we must encounter things in our Christian lives, we kind of don't want to grow up. We kind of want to run back. But just like the babies, they can do it. And after learning, they certainly wished never to go back. So it's the same thing with us. That's why I was talking about this earlier. When we grow spiritually in faith and start trusting God, regardless of what we're facing in life, look, I'm no different than anybody else. It's difficult. It's hard. We endure pain, hardship, loneliness, sufferings. I mean, you name it. I cannot fathom or comprehend things that y'all are going through. I can only relate to me, what I've been through, or what I'm going through. And yes, at times it is intimidating because, again, I sit on my sofa, I sit in my bed, or I sit here in this little room right now where I'm standing, and I'm looking up and I'm saying, well, God, you know, I can't figure this out. And I start throwing some tantrums at times. I act like a baby, and I think sometimes God's telling me, but I'm not hearing, but I think at times God's telling me, Jim, why don't you just grow up? We don't like to hear that sometimes. And sometimes, you know, whenever we are acting like little kids and we go to God and we go to scriptures or we go to a pastor or we go to a friend or brother or something, ain't a lot of times that we hear something that we don't like because we want to hear something that we wanted to like. And we kind of still throw a little temper tantrum right afterwards. I have done that many times, man. I'm throwing tantrums, you know. So I went to go talk to another pastor friend of mine. Or another Christian friend of mine, and yet they told me something. I didn't want to hear that from you. I wanted to hear it my way. My way. Don't you get it? My way. But no. You see, folks, we act like babies when we do that. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't let things like that intimidate us. We just have to start releasing ourselves and trusting God. That's hard. Don't get me wrong. It is. See, it's the same with us, folks, in our Christian lives. God, in a way, what he is doing to us, he is urging us on. You know, like little babies, you know, when we grow up, I'm pretty sure our parents did, or whoever it was, you with your guardians, whatever, when you was trying to walk, what a lot of them would do. You see a lot of these videos when they're trying to get little babies to walk, what they do. They're trying to urge the little baby on. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can stand up. Come on, you can make the first little few steps. Yay! But they're constantly encouraging you to go on. And this is what God is doing with us in our Christian lives. He's urging us on. He's urging us on, and also to use, here's a big word now, what he's doing to us, he's trying to get us to use our faith. Also, he's trying to get us to act on his word. And most important, to trust him. That's some heavy, deep thought right there, isn't it? Bottom line, to sum this up, he's urging us on to use our faith, to act on his word, and to trust him. It seems scary, but God knows you and I can do it. And once we learn how to walk with God by faith, it's a real joy, and we would never wish to go back. God desires for you to leave your little restricted world and step out into his world of unlimited possibilities where you can fellowship with him. And let us say this. You can repeat it right in your chair or however you're sitting, but let us say this. I will feed on God's word and let him mature me so I won't act like a baby. Let me repeat this. I will feed on God's words and let him mature me so I won't act like a baby. Now, so why do so many, even after years of living for the Lord, still act like babies? You ever wonder that? I have a lot. I have seen many people that's 20, 25, 30, 40 years saying that they live a Christian life, that they surrender to Christ, but I see a lot of them that I kind of look up to. Sometimes they're acting like babies myself, and I wonder why do they still act like that? Honestly, to me, the most issues I have seen were due to this. At least I kind of hit on this a little bit earlier. The reason why many of them still act like babies, and to me, this is the number one thing I think they act. Let me back up. This is why I think the number one reason they act like babies. It's because they do not get their way. And because of that, they act like babies. Deep, isn't it? Thought-provoking. You see, many I have encountered, and I was thinking this myself, I thought about this a lot myself. My wife, she would tell you she was sitting here right now. She's still at work, unfortunately. But see, I always quoted that passage. Whatever your heart's desire. And I was always throwing that back at God's face. Well, God, wait a minute. According to your words, not me, but according to your words, according to what you say in written scriptures, whatever my heart desires. So why am I not getting it? Why? I ask you for it all the time. You know what I desire, and yet it's not happening. So what I do a lot of times, I'm guilty of it. I act like a baby. While true that we sometimes wonder, hey, why our prayers have not been answered. So what we end up doing, we go sit in our corner and whine and complain about God not doing what he should. We're going to have a pity party. God, you ain't giving me what I want. God, I'm hurting down here and you ain't helping me. God, I'm in a lot of pain. You ain't taking care of this. God, I'm financially hurting. You ain't helping me. And I see these heathens winning these lotteries and all this other stuff. And you're not doing nothing for me. We whine and complain about what God is not doing what he should. In a sense, we act like babies. We throw fits and complain to everyone we see. Hey, Jim, how's it doing today? Man, ain't doing good. I still ain't getting no relief. I got collection agencies come breathing down my back. I'm about to lose my house. The lights are fixing to get turned off. I got two flat tires. My hair couldn't part the right way. My blow dryer burned up. Man, I got all kind of problems. Wow. You see? We throw fits all the time. And we shouldn't. Look, sometimes we do need a friend to talk to. Sometimes we do need to vent a little bit. A little. But not constantly. I have encountered many, many Christians constantly whining and complaining every time I talk to them. I hate to say it in a bad way. I start to avoid them. Because I know they're going to complain. I know they're going to cry. I know they're going to act like a little child. I don't want to hear that. I'm not having a good day myself. If you have a camera on right now, if I had my camera on, you see I'm raising my hand up. I've done it. But lately I've been thinking about when writing this message. Man, I've been doing that a lot. Wow. I think some changes are needed. See, the reason why we do that, and to me, I think, is this. We think, during all these times that we have an issues, we think that God himself has failed us. But we know it is never true, not according to scriptures. God is just expecting us to act on his word and continue walking in faith and love. God would not do anyone a favor by allowing them to never grow up. And Toby kind of hit on it when he hit, you know, he asked about chastisement. And I think whenever we're acting like babies all the time and we're throwing these tantrum fits and other stuff, then chastisement comes in. I think a lot of times that's why that happens. Because we're not growing up. We're not growing up spiritually. So God will not do a favor by not allowing them to never grow up. So he has to do these things in order to get you to say, hey, you need to start growing up. Come on. Let's go. Let's move forward. See, God wants us to have good things. But he also wants us to grow up, to learn his ways, and to trust him. So instead of just instantly giving us everything that we wanted, he encourages us to draw closer to him, learn to walk in faith, and learn how to receive all that he has provided for us. So while you may not always like God's timing, I know some of us don't, it is best for you, even though you may not think so now, later you will rejoice because you will more clearly understand what God has done. And a lot of times, whenever I'm not thinking clearly and after the process is over with, Wow, I understand now. And that helps me for the next encounter. That helps me for the next battle, the next testing. And sometimes, hey, do we pass that test all the time? No. Do we learn from it? Yes. Do we grow from it? I sure hope so. So what does it mean to grow up in God? Well, some people's idea of growth in their Christian life is knowing more worship songs than any other people. That's what some of them think. They may really shout, "Praise the Lord." Maybe they are genuine good worshipers. Others have quiet times every day. Others have strong prayer lives. Others seem like they're not having difficulties. You always see them. They're so joyful. They're so happy. They're so chipper. And you wonder, well, what's wrong with me, God? But is that what it means to grow up in God? I don't know. All these things are great. Yes, they are. But there are many things to grow up in. Here, the Bible exhorts us to grow up in all things. For example, maybe you have really grown in the practice of having your quiet time, or being consistent to do it every day. But maybe it has become a ritual to you, and you really aren't getting anything out of it. Think about that one. Or maybe you're a great worshiper, and you really worship your heart out at church, but you have not really learned to worship at home or in your quiet time. Or maybe, just maybe, you're a great worshiper, but you don't act in love towards other people at school or at work or at your home all day long. Or just maybe you're one of them or not very quick to forgive people. Dang, Tim, you're really kind of hitting a little bit on some hard sayings here, huh? I'm just saying, folks. Or maybe, just maybe, you murmur under your breath. A lot of times when your parents or other people want you to do something for them and you don't want to do so. Or even your Sunday school teacher or your pastor may call upon you to do something in church and you murmur. So in one part of your life that you feel really strong and you think that you are a strong Christian in every part, yet you have this glaring outage in other parts of your life that you are still not very strong in. In a sense, you're still kind of like a little baby. You see, when Paul himself, when he wrote to the Ephesians, you know, when you study the book of Ephesians, you know what? There are a lot of areas that God wants to grow in because Paul pointed it out to them. There are a lot of areas where the world really has trained us to live and act like heathens. Oh yeah, we've been conditioned that way. We think that way. We grow up that way. And a lot of times we still want to revert back to that way. We want to live and act like the world shows us to live. Because a lot of times, you know, we go listen to some music that we shouldn't be. Guilty. Unfortunately, we go watch some movies we shouldn't be. Guilty. Sometimes I go watch television programs I shouldn't watch. Guilty. And you wonder why chastisement comes in? Or pruning? Because I'm not growing up when I realize, wait a minute, I shouldn't have. But then when the chastisement or the pruning comes in, I start having hissy fits. I start throwing temper tantrums. God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? And I think God is saying, Jim, you're not growing up. Good point, God. You see, God wants to affect all those areas of our lives. He wants to influence us in the way that we think, the way we feel, the way we respond to people and situations, and in our personal habits that nobody knows anything about. He wants us to grow up in all things, not most things. Hey, he wants us to grow up in all things, not most things, not some things, but all, folks. All is all. That's it. Now, granted, you can't grow up in all things at once. That'd be, I think, an overload. We can't. That's why in our spiritual walk, we mature as Christians. We do grow. We learn to grow. But while this is still going on, he still wants us to grow up in all things. All, folks. It's time for us to start documenting areas that we know that we have not grown up in, so that way we can begin to ask the Lord, okay, God, how do you want me to grow in these areas? Like I've been doing myself lately for the last 2-3 weeks now. Lord, what is your will? Not mine, yours. Help me put my stubbornness aside. Help me put some of my prideful thoughts aside. You know what? Okay, now I've been trying to do my will, my way, you know, like the Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. Okay, you know what? I think God says, you're doing it your way, but you're doing it the wrong way because you're not allowing yourself to trust me because I'm willing to show you, but you don't want to listen because you're acting like a kid, so grow up! Grow up. Trust me. Lean not on your own understanding. Ask God. Okay, God. How do you want me to grow in these areas? You see, the Lord's goal for us as people of God, that name, the name of Jesus, is, in fact, folks, to grow up, to mature, and develop in a way, in a character of Jesus himself. Many of us grow older, but never grow up. Most of us get stuck in a rut. Most of us get stuck as being like a baby. Most of us get stuck remaining in diapers. I believe the Spirit of God is saying we need to grow up. Spiritual growth is not automatic. I wish it was. But let me put it on cruise control and sit back and ride. Hey, I got it made. I wish it was like that. You got to work at it. So how so? I'm glad that you asked. See, when you study God's word, the Bible says so in 2 Timothy. If you read through the letter of 2 Timothy, read through it, study it, take it apart word by word. See, when you study 2 Timothy, it says that we should study or be diligent. Meaning, we should be hardworking, busy, industrious, productive, or even producing faithful fruits. And always growing to show yourselves approved unto God. In other words, a worker who does not need to be made ashamed. Because you, my friends, got your business in order. Believers of God, pay attention. You gotta. I know I'm using a little slang here, but you gotta want to grow. You got to make an effort to grow. You got to make a decision to grow and get out of that same old rut in your spiritual growth. Get out of it. Let's look at discipleship. Hey, that's a good one there. Discipleship is the process of becoming Christ-like. And it begins with a decision. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Let's turn to that verse right there. You see, that's what it does. That's what discipleship is all about, making a decision. And look what it says. And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a name, Matthew, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, hey, just sit there, right? No. Hey, give me some food. No. Hey, give me some of that money you got on that table. Nope, that ain't it. That ain't what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, follow me. And that's what Matthew did. So he arose and followed him. Okay, cool. Let's go. Did he have a hissy fit? Did he cry like a baby or whatever? At the time, he didn't. I wondered later on while he was walking for 3 years listening to him. I wonder if he did start crying like a baby or not. Man, all that money I gave up. Man, I was really poor into those people on taxes and everything. Man, I had the fancy houses and the room and food and wine and dining. Man. I wonder if he did that. I don't know. I'm just saying that. All he did when Jesus said, follow me, bam, that was it. He followed him. Matthew, folks, he made a decision to follow him. The first disciples that chose to follow Jesus, look, I'm sure they didn't know all of what was going to happen by following Jesus. I'm sure they didn't know what that entailed or what it involved. I'm sure they didn't know. But they all made a decision to accept his invitation. Now, nothing shapes your life like the commitment you choose to make. Your commitment can either develop you or it can destroy you. But it's according to what you commit yourself to. If you commit to the things of God, he will develop you powerfully in him and give you a life of good living. If you commit to the things of the world, guess what? It's going to destroy you. So what we need to do, we need to commit some time to prayer, to studying the word, time with family, loving others, speaking kindly with others. Because when we look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says this. That's why, again, the word of God, that's why you must study to prove thyself, because all your answers is right here in the word of God. Because, again, this is what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, for all that is in the world is, for all that is in the world. Again, that's why I'm saying it twice. What it says is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And it's not the Father, but is of this world. In other words, summing that up in a nutshell, the lust of the flesh is craving for sensual gratification. The lust of eye is really greedy longings of the mind. You know, man, I wish I had that $1 million lottery. Man, I wish I had that big boat. I wish I had that car. See, the pride of life really is assurance in one's own eyes or resources, meaning you're looking at yourself. Friends, the world passes away and disappears with all the forbidden cravings and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purpose in his life will remain forever. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says this, and that's proof if you want to see it. It says, for when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man or mature, I put the childish things away or behind me, whichever way you want to look at it. See, that tells me right there, that tells me, as we come to know our Lord and Savior, we need to speak as mature Christians. We need to understand as mature people. And God will help you. We must think as mature people, and God will help you. And we must put away childish things that will cause our growth to be hindered. In reality, we need to grow up and quit acting childish. Let's grow up. Let's quit acting like babies. So in closing, I know I'm running a little long with this, but I'm sorry about this, folks. You know, I don't apologize for what the message is, but it's just, this is deep to me. When we first acknowledge Jesus as our Savior, we become reborn, born again. And as with all newborns, our desire for nourishment becomes fervent and frequent. An infant's piercing cries displays a hunger that must be immediately satisfied. And as Christians, when we become born again, you and I should desire God's words so that we may grow up. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says. That's what the scriptures, that's what the word is telling us. So when we become born again, this is what we should be. We're like newborn babies. We crave a pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Growing in Christ, my friends, is a lifelong journey where everything is experienced along the ways that offers to us to enrich us. We are given opportunities to grow and develop a Christ-like nature that coincides, or in other words, it shouldn't mirror exactly with what our Heavenly Father is all about. You see, God created our innermost being in a fearful and wonderful fashion. And as God shapes us, we were given the deposit of the divine life. Either we try to make ourselves grow in holiness and fail miserably, or we must yield and cooperate with the glorious intentions of God. Why do I say this? Simple. 2 Peter, verse 3:18 says this. And I like how it's put. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. How wonderful. Let us grow in the grace of our knowledge and Lord Jesus Christ, not as babies, but as born-again believers. Believers who are entitled to the greatest joys frequently must endure the greatest sufferings. That's right. Let me repeat this. Believers who are entitled to the greatest joys frequently, and if we want that, and guess what? We must endure the greatest sufferings. Jesus Christ Himself suffered more than any of His disciples were asked to suffer. Like the first disciples, we will grow as we discover that the testing of one's faith under His grace produces another step in growing in life. When we understand this, then we can continue to mature as we persevere through prayer. Anxieties and insecurities, they vanish as our steadfastness guides us to nearer to maturity. We will find ourselves growing in Christ as we cultivate the ability to release all of our burdens to God. Even the best Christians tend to struggle under the burden of excessive worry. They do. And Jesus reminds us that we are told not to fear for what tomorrow holds. Every day, folks, brings its own burdens and cares and concerns. It also brings with it its own strength and supply. If new trials and troubles arrive daily, God's help and provisions are also being provided to you. You get that? If you're facing new trials and troubles daily, remember the most important thing. God's help and provision is also being supplied to you. Because God himself says, I will provide you a way out. I wish many of us sometimes, whenever we do encounter that, we will see that way out. But a lot of times we don't. We turn a blind eye to it because we turn back to self. No. Whenever we are faced with difficulties, we need to understand God's will. We need to say, okay, that's your will. But we need also to understand, God, you're going to provide for me some way out of this. I just don't see it, but you do already. He sees everything. He knows everything. Growing in Christ reveals a maturity, a perfectly balanced character in him. That's what it does. When we grow in Christ and we grow in maturity, it creates a perfectly balanced character in us, in him. And it's up to each of us to develop what we have been given. It's up to you. Now, last but not least, you heard me say it earlier. Yes, you won't mature overnight. I've been at it for 15 years. I still got a lot of growing up to do. A lot. But as you meditate on the Word of God, especially the Word concerning love, you will leave the baby and the childhood stages behind you and move into maturity so that you can be a blessing to the body of Christ and the world. Amen. Let's pray.